Let's read together Deuteronomy chapter 10. In this chapter, which is all part of the second sermon of Moses to the children of Israel on the plains of Moab before they cross over the Jordan River into the land, Moses continued to remind the people of what God had graciously done for them and continued to remind the people of the obligations and responsibilities that they had to the Lord in return. Let's begin by reading the first 11 verses. At that time, the Lord said to me, "Cut out for yourselves two tablets of stone like the first, and come up to me on the mountain and make yourself an ark of wood. And I will write on the tablets the words which were on the first tablets, which you broke, and you shall put them in the ark." So I made an ark of acacia wood, hewed two tablets of stone like the first, and went up on the mountain having the two tablets in my hand. And the Lord wrote on the tablets, according to the first writing, the Ten Commandments, which the Lord had spoken to you in the mountain from the midst of the fire in the day of the assembly, and the Lord gave them to me. Then I turned and came down from the mountain and put the tablets in the ark which I had made, and there they are, just as the Lord commanded me. Now the children of Israel journeyed from the wells of Bena Jaakan to Mosera, where Aaron died and where he was buried, and Eleazar his son ministered as priest in his stead. From there they journeyed to Gudgoda, and from Gudgoda to Jotbatha, a land of rivers of water. At that time the Lord separated the tribe of Levi to bear the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord, to stand before the Lord to minister to him and to bless in his name to this day. Therefore Levi has no portion nor inheritance with his brethren. The Lord is his inheritance, just as the Lord your God promised him. As at the first time, I stayed in the mountain 40 days and 40 nights. The Lord also heard me at that time, and the Lord chose not to destroy you. Then the Lord said to me, "Arise, begin your journey before the people, that they may go in and possess the land which I swore to their fathers to give them." Let's begin our study of Deuteronomy chapter 10 with some background notes. When you read the commentaries on the book of Deuteronomy, you will find that Old Testament scholars approach the structure of Deuteronomy in two different ways. On the one hand, it can be shown that the arrangement of the content of Deuteronomy follows the typical form of an ancient treaty. Treaties between suzerain lords and their vassals were common in the ancient world of the Bible. These treaties followed a certain set structure or format of first a preamble and then an historical prologue. Then came the stipulations of the treaty, followed by the sanctions or the blessings and the cursings, and finally the arrangements for the continuation of the covenant. The book of Deuteronomy can be shown to follow this treaty structure in general, with God as a suzerain lord and the children of Israel as the vassal people. There were always two copies of these ancient treaties kept, one by the suzerain lord and one by the vassal people. Thus, the two tablets of the Ten Commandments. All Ten Commandments were on both tablets and were to be kept in the Ark of the Covenant, the meeting place between God and his people. So that's one way you can approach the book of Deuteronomy, follow it by its treaty structure. The other approach, of course, to the structure of the book of Deuteronomy is the one that we've been following, namely that it is three or four sermons or addresses that Moses gave to the children of Israel as they were camped on the plains of Moab, preparing to cross the Jordan River into the Promised Land. Both of these approaches to the structure of Deuteronomy are valid, of course, because the successive sermons of Moses to the people could certainly have followed the ancient treaty format. Let's move now to our doctrinal or teaching points for Deuteronomy chapter 10. Doctrinal point number one, believers should follow the example of the Levites. Believers should follow the example of the Levites, verses 1 through 11, the verses that we just read. The phrase, "at that time," in verse 1, refers to the time at Mount Sinai. Specifically, it is the second 40 days and nights that Moses spent on the mountain after the event of the golden calf and the smashing of the first set of stone tablets that contained the Ten Commandments. Now the Lord had Moses come up on Mount Sinai once again with two new stone tablets, And God in his grace again wrote the Ten Commandments of the Mosaic Covenant, which had been broken. Moses put these tablets into the Ark of the Covenant, which had been constructed as God commanded. Now verses 6 through 9 are a parenthesis in the account and tell us of the death of Aaron, the priesthood, and the setting apart of the Levites. We also read of the death of Aaron, the high priest, in Numbers chapter 20. I'm reading from Numbers chapter 20, beginning with verse 23. And the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron in Mount Hor by the border of the land of Edom, saying, Aaron shall be gathered to his people, for he shall not enter the land which I have given to the children of Israel, because you rebelled against my word at the waters of Meribah. Take Aaron and Eleazar, his son, and bring them up to Mount Hor, and strip Aaron of his garments and put them on Eleazar, his son. For Aaron shall be gathered to his people and die there. So Moses did just as the Lord commanded, and they went up to Mount Hor in the sight of all the congregation. Moses stripped Aaron of his garments and put them on Eleazar, his son. And Aaron died there on the top of the mountains. Then Moses and Eleazar came down from the mountain. Now when all the congregation saw that Aaron was dead, all the house of Israel mourned for Aaron 30 days. From Numbers chapter 20, verses 23 through 29. Eleazar, who replaced Aaron as high priest, was the third son of Aaron. Remember, the first two sons of Aaron, Nadab and Abihu, died by fire because they offered strange fire before the Lord. Read Leviticus chapter 10 in this connection. In verses 8 and 9 of Deuteronomy chapter 10, we have the role of the Levites. They had a special place of service for the Lord in that they assisted the priests in carrying out all of the work associated with the tabernacle and later the temple. The Levites were given this special place because they stood with Moses at the event of the golden calf. Read Exodus chapter 32 in this connection. What a great example the Levites are for us to follow. We read in verse 9 that the Levites were not given a portion of the land of Israel because the Lord was their portion. The Levites lived in 48 Levitical cities. Now, at first, we might think that the Levites were shortchanged because they did not get any land like the rest of the tribes. But no, to have the Lord as your inheritance was and is the higher calling. Many believers today have given up the material blessings of this life for the higher calling of greater service to the Lord. All of us can certainly make the Lord's service a greater priority in our lives. Believers should follow the example of the Levites. And doctrinal point number two, believers should follow the example of the Lord. Believers should follow the example of the Lord. Verses 12 through 22. And now, Israel, what does the Lord your God require of you, but to fear the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways, and to love him, to serve the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, and to keep the commandments of the Lord and his statutes, which I command you today, for your good. Indeed, heaven and the highest heavens belong to the Lord your God, also the earth and all that is in it. The Lord delighted only in your fathers to love them, and he chose their descendants after them. You above all peoples, as it is this day. Therefore circumcise the foreskin of your heart, and be stiff-necked no longer. For the Lord your God is God of gods, and Lord of lords, the great God, mighty and awesome, who shows no partiality nor takes a bribe. He administers justice for the fatherless and the widow, and loves the stranger, giving him food and clothing. Therefore love the stranger, for you were strangers in the land of Egypt. You shall fear the Lord your God. You shall serve him, and to him you shall hold fast and take oaths in his name. He is your praise, and he is your God, who has done for you these great and awesome things which your eyes have seen. Your fathers went down to Egypt with 70 persons, and now the Lord your God has made you as the stars of heaven in multitude. The 70 of Jacob's extended family mentioned here in the last verse of the chapter can easily be harmonized with the 75 persons mentioned in Acts chapter 7, verse 14, where all the relatives are taken into account. In verses 17 and 18, we see that the Lord does not play favorites, and he cannot be bribed, and he executes justice for the orphans and the widows who can't afford lawyers, and he provides for the poor and needy. We see in verse 19 and the rest of the Bible that we should do the same. Think of it. The God who created and owns this universe, verse 14, cares for the insignificant folks and the down and outers and the poor and needy. How can we do less? Believers should follow the example of the Lord. Now, following the example of the Lord is not easy, and it's not automatic, because we, like Israel, are sinful people. Even though believers today have the Holy Spirit dwelling within us, we still have sinful natures that are prone to disobedience and rebellion. So we, like the children of Israel, must circumcise our hearts and stiffen our necks no longer. Verse 16. This is figurative language for separating from sinful activities and stopping our disobedience and rebellion. These are the necessary negative steps that we must take in reference to sin, including secret sin. But now, in a positive response, we should reverence the Lord and serve him and cling to him, verse 20, and thank him for all the great and awesome things that we've seen him do, verse 21. And don't say you haven't seen the Lord do anything. Both the negative approach of what we don't do and this positive approach of what we do do should motivate us to follow the Lord more. Believers should follow the examples of the Lord. Now, what about practical application for Deuteronomy chapter 10? Do you know the ABCs of God's requirements for believers? Do you know the ABCs of God's requirements for believers? Verses 12 and 13 once again. And now, Israel, what does the Lord require of you but to fear the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways, and to love him, to serve the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, and to keep the commandments of the Lord and his statutes, which I command you today for your good. Verses 12 and 13. You know, these verses sound very much like Micah 6:8, don't they? I'm reading Micah chapter 6 and verse 8. He has shown you, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you, but to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. Micah 6:8. These are the ABCs of God's requirements for believers. Look at verses 12 and 13 of Deuteronomy chapter 10 once again. A, to fear the Lord and walk in all his ways. That is to show reverence toward God and thus have a godly lifestyle. B, to love the Lord and serve him. Love and service certainly go together. And C, to keep the Lord's commandments, that is, obey the word of God. Notice in verse 13 how God's commands are not to hurt us or take away from our joy in any way, but for our good, even though we may not appreciate this truth at the present time. So learn the basics of God's requirements for believers. Do you know the ABCs of God's requirements for believers?